Hi, and thanks for downloading From the Tops podcast. I'm conductor Yuga Kohler, an alum of the show, and I had the honor of coming back as a guest host. It was an incredible experience to host the show, especially 13 years after I was first on it, to see how far I had come, but also to get to experience these amazing young musicians who are on the show today. There was a brilliant young 17-year-old pianist from Boston who showed how music can serve the cause of social justice. There was a really bubbly 13-year-old violinist. And then there was also the incredible guest artist on the show, jazz pianist Fred Hirsch, one of the great jazz musicians working today, who has an equally extraordinary life story that has informed his compositions and his performance. So enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's today's host, one of our country's visionary young conductors, Yuga Kohler.
Welcome. It's an incredible thing for me to be hosting From the Top today. I was 14 years old and an oboist the first time I was on the show. I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was such an exhilarating experience being able to perform for such a large audience. Now, I've gone to Juilliard, I've become an orchestral conductor, and I am the music director of the Ridgefield Symphony Orchestra. And so here we are today at From the Top's home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. A special thanks to the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism for helping to make today's show possible. Now, as an artist, I'm always interested in exploring the parts of our humanity that we share, that bring us together. One of the projects I'm known for is called Yeethoven, an orchestral concert that compares the music of Beethoven and Kanye West. Two artists that have more in common than you might think. And that's one of the themes running through today's show, finding common ground, whether that's in the identities, the genres, or the works of these wonderful musicians. Our guest artist, Fred Hirsch, has lived this, bridging many communities, musical and otherwise. Now, most of you will know Fred as one of the great living jazz pianists, but he's also a groundbreaking composer of what can only be described as Fred Hirsch music. He'll be joining our young musicians to perform one of his works, but he'll also perform something from the classical canon. And speaking of the classical canon, let's get on with our show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our first artist from New York City, 14-year-old violinist Ina Kwong Hu. Welcome, Ina. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
Jing and I will be playing the second of four pieces called Appassionato by Joseph Suk.
And we also want to welcome your collaborative pianist, another From the Top alum, Jing Xuan Zhang. All right, whenever you're ready, take it from the top.
Thank you.
Ina Kwong Hu, 14, from New York City, played the Appassionato from Joseph Suk's Four Pieces for Violin and Piano. She was accompanied by From the Top alum, Jingxuan Zhang. You know, I've gotten to know you over the past couple of days, and I have to say that performance really epitomizes who you are. You're just a fireball of energy. You're always ready to go. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
And as we got to know each other, I realized, Ina, that, you know, one of the things we have in common is our hodgepodge of ethnicities kind of going on. I'm half Japanese and half Jewish. Tell everyone about your background.
Well, my mom is Japanese. And my dad is half French and half Vietnamese, so that makes me half Japanese, quarter French, quarter Vietnamese, and I was born in the United States, so I have three nationalities.
And we got to speak some Japanese backstage, but you also speak French, right?
Yeah.
And English, so you're trilingual. Awesome. Now, given that very diverse background, very multinational background, it's no surprise that you traveled to Geneva for the famous Menuhin competition. Ina competed in the Yehudi Menuhin International Violin Competition, which is one of the most competitive in the world. She's 14 years old. You know, no biggie. But despite all that, you were shocked to make it to the second round. Why is that?
Well, so there's three rounds in this competition. And in the first round, an accident happened. So I was playing my program. This was the last piece. And the piece today is actually the second of the four pieces. But in this competition, they require the third and fourth by the same composer, Joseph Suk. And so in the fourth movement, about in the last 20 seconds of the piece, there's about this much music left on the page, my finger slipped and I actually stopped for a brief moment. And that really made me doubt whether I would go to the second round, because the first round they eliminate, you know, a lot of people.
Yeah. Of course. But despite that mistake, which maybe not a lot of people noticed, you went on to do really well. You came in fifth place. So how are you able to rebound off of an experience like that?
I think what's really important is everybody can make mistakes. It can happen to anybody. But it's how you recover, I think. You don't want everybody to know that it happened, although most people can hear it. But you want to just go on like nothing happened and try to, you know, make the time you stop as little as possible.
Right.
And just go on and finish it. The show must go on.
The show must go on. Well, you're such a trooper, Ina. I'm sure that, I'm not sure, but I bet not a lot of people noticed the mistake. I bet it was only audible to your ears. But like I said, your performance was so extraordinary. It's no surprise you got fifth place in that competition. Congratulations, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Everyone, Ina Kwong Hu, 14, from New York.
Check out our online video series featuring music videos with our young musicians performing with artists from across the musical spectrum. Subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/FromTheTop. Over the last 13 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Yuga.
Thanks, Joanne. Next up is a 17-year-old pianist from neighboring Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. His name is Avik Sarkar, and he'll perform the first movement of Béla Bartók's Piano Sonata.
Thank you.
first movement of Béla Bartók's Piano Sonata, performed by Avik Sarkar, 17, from Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. Avik, what a frankly disturbing but yet excellent performance that was. It was really bombastic.
Thank you.
And folks, I don't mean to brag on behalf of Avik here, but he got this in one take in the rehearsal, so it was no problem for him. Avik, I love Bartók. I can tell that you do too. I recently conducted Bartók's Concerto for Orchestra, actually, just last week. And one of the things I really love about Bartók is his use of folk melodies, in his case, it was Eastern European folk melodies, and how he incorporates that into his own compositions. You yourself are a composer, and it seems like you draw inspiration from non-Western classical music too.
Yeah, definitely. My whole family is Bengali, so I've always been surrounded by Indian classical music, whether that was the classical singers that my dad was listening to or, you know, the Bollywood-inspired soundtracks of the TV shows that my mom was watching. But I don't think I ever really appreciated the beauty of this music. Mm-hmm. So once I started getting involved in classical music, obviously all the music I was listening to was Chopin and Brahms and later 20th century composers. So when I started composing, those were the composers that I was emulating or imitating. Sure. Which I liked for a while, but then quickly that got boring. It felt like all the pieces I was writing were just copies of what I'd been listening to or what I'd been studying.
Yep.
So that's when I wanted to do something original, create something fresh in my music. So that's when I decided to start using my Indian classical influences in my works.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think when you draw from a variety of backgrounds and sources, you can come up with something really fresh and innovative. Let's listen to a little bit of your Indian-inspired music. Now, that's the Janáček Philharmonic in the Czech Republic performing the opening of your piece, Purvi. You can tell just by listening to it how the use of the tam-tam, the way the strings play, it draws on something very special to you.
Thank you.
And I would love to hear the rest of the piece.
Thank you.
Kind of bouncing off of that, both musically and otherwise, so then what is it about your Bengali heritage that is so special to you, and what do you want to express about it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, both my parents are immigrants from India, mm-hmm. and I'm also bilingual. So my Indian heritage has always played a really important part in my identity. But of course, classical music, being a pianist, being a composer, that has also been a really integral part of my identity. Yeah. But I think oftentimes we think of classical music as something Western, something that's really accessible to only a very small audience.
Totally.
And so, as a person of color navigating the world of classical music, this was a challenge that I was facing a lot. And the question that I wanted to answer was, how could I reconcile these two different parts of my identity? So I guess that's what I'm seeking to do, like through my art, through my compositions, find some kind of common ground between my Indian heritage and my classical training.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. Something we need more of this in this world. We're going to talk more after we hear you playing this next piece. It's a piano duo. And luckily, we just happen to have another pianist with us here in Jordan Hall. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the fabulous jazz pianist, composer, and educator, Fred Hirsch. It's fantastic to have you with us, Fred. Now, you went here to New England Conservatory to study jazz. But as a kid before that, your studies weren't that much different than the kids on our show, right?
Yes, I was taught theory and composition and score reading and counterpoint as an elementary schooler. I started with classical music, but I always found that it was more fun to make stuff up. So I was very fortunate to find jazz, which is a great language for making things up. And I was very happy to have had the advantages of coming here in the mid-70s when Gunther Schuller was still running the school. It was a very special place and a special time. And so I feel like I have still have a connection to the classical music world.
Totally. And we're going to hear you perform something in the classical vein now. Can you tell everyone what you and Avik are going to be performing together?
We're going to be playing a humorous little piece by Samuel Barber, from his Souvenirs suite. It's called The Hesitation Tango.
Great. Whenever you're ready, take it from the top. Avik Sarkar, 17, and our guest artist Fred Hirsch performed Hesitation Tango from Souvenirs by Samuel Barber, arranged for two pianos by Arthur Gold and Robert Fizdale. A very stylish, a very a la mode performance by the two of you. I really enjoyed it. Avik, you and Fred share an interest in activism and using music to effect social change. Can you tell us about the benefit concert you put together and your own musical contribution to it?
Yeah, definitely. So this past January, I organized a benefit concert that raised $5,000 for the Boston Center for Refugee Health and Human Rights. So the way that I thought of the idea for the project was when I was talking to my grandmother, who was a refugee from Bangladesh to India during the partition of India. And so one of the things that I noticed in her narrative was the struggles that she faced to make herself heard, to create a voice for herself. And so as I was thinking about all these things, I heard about From the Top's Arts Leadership Grant, which supports projects that serve communities through artistic endeavors. So I applied, and I was very lucky to receive the grant. And I'm very, very grateful to From the Top for providing the funds that allowed me to put together the project. And so the central element of the project was my composition titled From Voices, in which I tried to combine the musical backdrop of a string quartet with recordings of interviews with refugees and immigrants from the Boston area. And so this quickly proved to be a challenge. I spent most of the summer of 2017 posting flyers, Craigslist ads, sending emails seeking material that I could use for the piece. Mm-hmm. And I think that in initiatives like these, it's so easy to get lost in all the organizational details. But what really reminded me of why I wanted to pursue the project in the first place was remembering my grandmother's story, and that the whole purpose of doing the concert in the first place was to give refugees, this marginalized community, even in a very, very small way, a space to tell their stories.
That's wonderful. I think not just the music, you know, the music element of putting together a piece like that, which has multifaceted elements, but also the concert itself. It sounds like a pretty complex endeavor. Hats off to you. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
And Fred, you've done obviously similar things. You lived through the height of the AIDS crisis in 1980s New York. You were diagnosed with having HIV yourself. And because of all that happened around that time, you described becoming an accidental activist. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. In the late 80s and early 90s, it was a very grim time in New York. Many of my friends were dying. We all felt like, how can we be of help? And I took the example of actually very important person in the classical music world, Charles Hamlin, who was a concert artist manager to some of the top concert artists in the 80s and 90s and founded what became IMG Artists. His partner passed away in 1992, and he walked away from a rather lucrative job to start an organization that he called Classical Action Performing Arts Against AIDS, which raised money for AIDS services and education through house concerts, largely, and through artists donating a percentage of their concert fees. I met him. I was so impressed by what he was doing. I said, well, what can I do? And I thought about it. And of course, I know and have played with so many great jazz musicians in New York. I also know engineers and recording studios there. So I enlisted all my friends to put together a benefit album, which we called Last Night When We Were Young. It was all ballads. And I thought, we're going to get this to a major label, and we're going to sell it, and they're going to give all the money to Classical Action. And mm-hmm. It didn't happen that way. And so I said to Charlie, well, I guess we're in the record business. And we got some great publicity for it. And even with a 1-800 number before internet, we raised about $150,000 on the sale of this album. And when the album came out, I figured that I needed to come out too. There were no jazz musicians who were talking about being gay, and there were no performing artists talking about being HIV positive. Mm-hmm. So I just decided, well, this has fallen in my lap, and if I want to give the message to everybody that if you want to be the artist or person you can be, you have to be cool with yourself. Stop paying the price for being in any kind of a large closet, maybe I can be helpful. And I didn't honestly know how long I had to live, and here I am 25 years later.
Well, we're lucky to have you. I mean, I myself very much feel privileged to be on stage with two generations of pianist composers who are able to use their music so effectively towards such important causes. Fred, we're going to hear more of your story in the second half of the program. And Avik, thank you so much. Wonderful playing.
Thank you so much.
Avik Sarkar, 17, from nearby Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, and today's guest artist, Fred Hirsch.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from our home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Coming up, our guest artist, Fred Hirsch, performs one of his own pieces with the young cellist on today's show. Our program here in Boston is made possible with support from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Here again is today's guest host, Yuga Kohler.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining us now is the Kairos Quartet from the Music Institute of Chicago. Joshua Brown and Thompson Wang, both 18, violins. Julian Ree, 18, viola. And Lydia Ray, 19, cello. Joshua is at the mic. Joshua, tell our audience what you'll be playing today.
We're going to be playing Mendelssohn's String Quartet No. 6 in F minor.
And this piece has an especially dark background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this piece was written in a really hard time in Mendelssohn's life. His sister, who he was really close to, had just passed away, and this was actually the last piece he would ever write before he died at the age of 38.
The Kairos Quartet from the Music Institute of Chicago Academy. Joshua Brown and Thompson Wang, both 18 violins. Julian Ree, 18 viola. And Lydia Ray, 19 cello. This quartet was coached by Rodolfo Vieira, and we want to thank Carriage House Violins for loaning Julian the superb viola we just heard. Thompson and Lydia are joining me at the mics. That was amazing, you guys. Congratulations.
That was wonderful.
Well, folks, today's episode is stacked. As you know, our first performer was a prize winner at the Menuhin competition, and it turns out the Kairos Quartet won the gold medal in the junior division at this year's extremely prestigious Bischoff Chamber Music Competition. Now, just for some context, I myself, as an oboist, went to the Bischoff competition 3 times, never came close to winning. So kudos to these folks. But in all seriousness, I want to learn from you all what it takes to get to that level of dedication needed to win a major competition like that. So, for instance, Thompson, you decided to leave home in California before even graduating high school to work with your teacher in the Chicago area. What was that like? Who did you live with? How did that even work?
Yeah, so during my junior year, I moved from California, and I had to find a place to live, a place to go to school. I did find myself a great teacher, but in the end, it worked out well. It was probably the toughest time of my life. It was tough leaving friends and family in California to go to a totally new environment with people that I met for 1 solid week.
And Lydia, you were in Chicago as well. How did you two kind of help each other out?
Well, I had a car and he didn't, so.
She was my mother.
Yeah, I'm the resident Kairos mom. So yeah, it was definitely difficult. I definitely would say that it paid off in the end, but we definitely bonded a lot over that experience of living away from home and sort of being on our own.
Not just that, Lydia, in your case, in training to get to this level, you've had some setbacks in the form of a major injury. Can you share a bit about that experience?
Yes, in my junior year of high school, I was practicing, and all of a sudden my hands were really tingly, which is not good. And I had major overuse injuries all throughout my body, and we just kind of kept discovering more and more. And that was a really difficult time in my life because as a junior, you're usually preparing for college auditions, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do that. I couldn't practice.
And not just the physical toll, though. What was the emotional toll of that? How did you deal with having that injury and operating in the musical world?
Yeah, it was definitely really tough. It was really hard to see, you know, your friends accomplishing things when you aren't accomplishing things. And I think especially in the classical music world, there's definitely like a stigma surrounding it.
Right.
You know, we do train ourselves like athletes. We do practice just as much as athletes do. But when you're injured, it's not something that's reported upon. It's not like, oh, she's out for the season. It's
right.
You hide it. So I would wear like long sleeves so nobody would know that I was injured. I would like ice my arms in the cars after performances and competitions just so like nobody knew that I was going through it at the time.
Going to great lengths. There is no disabled list in classical music. Well, Lydia, we're really glad that you're back playing the cello so beautifully, and you're playing it so brilliantly, in fact, that we're going to ask you to stay on stage to play a piece with our guest artist, Fred Hirsch. But we'll say goodbye to Thompson. Thank you, Thompson.
Bye.
Thompson Wang, 18, now studying here at New England Conservatory.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Yuga.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back our special guest artist, Fred Hirsch. So, Fred, we touched on the fact that you studied classical music as a kid, and at a very young age, you gained some fame, some notoriety in your hometown of Cincinnati for winning the Cincinnati Music Scholarship Association's competition. How old were you, and what was that like?
Well, I was 10 years old, and I played the required pieces for the competition, and then there was an optional piece. So I decided to play a piece that I had composed, called A Windy Night, very original title. And basically, I improvised something. And I won the competition, and then there was a big concert for all the winners, and I played a windy night again, but of course it sounded completely different. So I thought, oh, this is cool. I can kind of pull the wool over everybody's eyes, and maybe I don't have to practice double thirds perfectly, and I can figure out a way to have a little more fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you could very easily have been in From the Top when you were a kid, too. And your music, your jazz music, but also your composed music, has a lot of elements, for instance, of J.S. Bach in it, and you talk a lot about his influence on your music. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, I think Bach is the touchstone for pretty much everybody who plays classical music. I think the way that his influence has manifested itself in my playing is I use a lot of moving independent voices, lots of contrapuntal things going on. I mean, in jazz piano, this is basically a big drum set with 88 notes. And but when I'm playing improvised music that's a little more classical in nature, I'm always trying to find different parts that combine together and have a harmonic and rhythmic value.
That's awesome. Well, now we get to hear you perform a composition of your own, and hopefully we'll hear some of that influence. This is a duo for cello and piano. Lydia Ray, the young cellist on today's show, has set herself up center stage to join you. Will you introduce this piece and tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. It's called Tango Bittersweet, and fair warning, the piano part is improvised, and the cello part is not, but Lydia plays it so elegantly you will think that she's improvising it.
Thank you.
Tango Bittersweet, performed by its composer and our special guest, Fred Hirsch, with 19-year-old cellist Lydia Ray from the Chicago area. Beautiful job, Lydia. And thank you, Fred. It's been an honor to share the stage with you and have you on From the Top. I've loved watching you work with Lydia and Avik, and I hope you've enjoyed it too.
Absolutely. Great musicians and really lovely young people.
And now, as an encore to take us out of the show, we have the privilege of experiencing Fred Hirsch alone at the piano. So, Fred, what do you feel like playing?
Well, the F minor of the Mendelssohn put me in mind of a composition by a Thelonious Monk in the same key. Mm-hmm. It's called In Walked Bud. It was written by Monk in tribute to one of the other great jazz pianists in history, Bud Powell. And, I just thought it would be a nice way to go out.
This is a real treat. I want to thank all of our young performers, and thank you for listening. I'm Yuga Kohler, and Fred, when you're ready, take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Bagley, with music director Aaron Nolan. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Matt Dykman, with assistance from Abby Rienzo. Stage management this week by John Escobar. Technical direction by Barry Gwillette, with Chris Rando, Dan Hallis, and Dev Ray. The executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Rockefeller Foundation, promoting the well-being of humanity throughout the world since 1913. More about Rockefeller's work in food, health, power, jobs, and resilient cities at rockfound.org. From the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing justice and opportunity for people in need. More information at publicwelfare.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You know, while From the Top is on NPR, it's not actually owned by NPR. It's an independent, nonprofit company based in Boston. And every year, it takes a huge push for us to make the show happen financially. So I ask you to please consider donating to our organization so that we can bring you joy podcast after podcast. Go to fromthetop.org and click on support.